This morning we are going to be in Matthew chapter 21 with the title Broken or Crushed. It ties in at the very end, but it should tie in through the whole thing, hopefully. We are going to be reading this passage where when Jesus is giving this parable, it's because people don't acknowledge who Jesus is. And I think in our world today, that's the problem. We as Christians, we know who Jesus is and we acknowledge Jesus when it's easy, sometimes when it's difficult, very few times when it's hard. So when the world looks at us, they can't help but be puzzled. It's like, well, if He's your Lord and Savior, then why aren't you professing Him? And so in this parable, Jesus is going to talk to them and He's going to deal with what is my title in my Bible is the wicked vine dressers. And so we're going to go ahead and read this passage. I'm going to start in Matthew 21, starting in verse 33 and read a few verses here. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants. They beat one, they killed one, and they stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.' So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the landowner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, 'He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease the vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief stone, cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing fruits of it. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken, and whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you now and I just lift up this passage. Lord, the message that you have in it, I pray that it would be clear to each of us as individuals that we would understand what it is you've set before us. Lord, bless your word to honor your kingdom and to draw people to you. We pray this today that your spirit would move. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, Jesus often taught in parables trying to get the point across. And he would always use something that they understood. And in their culture, pretty much everybody understood vineyards and vines and fruit and just agriculture in general. And so he's going to use this parable here as he begins to speak to these Pharisees and the others around. And he begins to speak to them. And as he does, I hope he speaks to us. Because if he doesn't, it's because we're not listening. Now, this has nothing to do with a message that I've prepared. It has nothing to do with what I've come up with. This has to do with God's Word and what it says. And He's promised us that if we will come to His Word, if we will seek Him, we'll be found by Him. If we desire to know, He will be known by us. And so, in this passage, as we begin to look at this, it's set up that He's writing and He's talking about the nation Israel. He's speaking to them because these religious leaders, they were of the Jewish nation. And so they should know the scripture in the past and they should understand what He's talking about, dealing with the past, dealing with the agriculture and the understanding of who He is. And so in this parable, the landowner is referred to basically as we'd understand it as God. And the vine dressers is that nation of Israel, and the servants, different servants that he sent would be different prophets and people that he had sent out to share his message and his word. And so here, as we look at this, I want us to look at the very first part here when he says that he dug this wine press. He set a hedge around it. He built a tower. That was something that they would do for a wine press because he gave it everything they needed. Now, the wine press, that's not what we think of as the place where they would get in and stomp the grapes so much as to where the fruit would go to, where the juice would go to, and it would flow down into this huge place in the ground, this vat that they had buried in the ground. And so it was a place to keep the fruit from the vineyard, the juice from the vineyard. And so he prepares that. He gives that to them. He puts a hedge around it. He protects it. He protects the vineyard. And then he builds a tower so that they could see and they could watch and they could protect. They had everything they needed to have a successful vineyard. That he had set them up. He had got it all done. He had built it. He had put it together. And then he leased it to them. He provided it for them. For us, let's look at the children of Israel, what he did with them in the Old Testament. What he's talking about is when the children of Israel, he brought them, he made covenants with them. He brought them through the wilderness. He had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. He provided for them food and water and protection all through the wilderness. And he brought them into the promised land. He gave them everything that they needed to succeed. And they still were an unfaithful nation. They still refused what he had given them. And as I'm reading that this week, I'm thinking, he provided everything that they needed, and they received it. Here they are, they're these vine dressers, they took it and they leased out this vineyard. They wanted the vineyard. They wanted to be able to do this. And so they set out and received everything that he had made for them. And then we know by reading the rest of it that it was not beneficial. For you and I, I want to ask you a question, one of probably several today. But the blessings that they received doesn't really say anything about thanking him. Do you thank him for the blessings that he has given you? Stop for just a minute and look at your hedge that he has put around you. Every one of us here has some type of a blessing, protection that God has given us. He has given us that opportunity to produce fruit with our life. He has put that tower of protection around us, whether it's through family or friends or whatever. He has given us everything we need to succeed. They never said a word about it. They just leased it and went on. Sometimes I think that's what we do. We just take God's blessings. We take his wine press and his hedge and his tower, and we take it for granted. Well, that's what you're supposed to get when you get a vineyard. And when I accept Christ, I should get all of these things. God should supply all those things to me. That's what we think. Do we thank him for what he's given us? Do we praise him for what he has done? You know, there are a lot of people in a lot of countries that do not have as nice a vineyard as we do. We take our vineyard for granted. We've got a nice air-conditioned building in the summer. We've got a nice heated building in the winter. We've got a great place to meet. We have a great town to live in. But we're supposed to have that stuff, right? We're good people. There's no promise of that. These were good people too. But they weren't thanking God. They didn't acknowledge who he was. Good people can go without acknowledging God. This week, I want you to think about your wine press, about your hedge, and about your tower, where it came from. Because he's blessed you. We don't have everything we want, But we have everything we need. And we need to thank Him for that. We need to acknowledge that He's the one that set up that hedge around us. He's the one that made it possible for us to be able to produce fruit and to watch over us. He's there. They received the blessings of the landowner, and that's where they stopped. Yeah, they kept running the vineyard. But as far as it goes with the landowner, no more connection with the landowner whatsoever. No thanks, no nothing. Next, we look at, as we go down, they refused to listen to the messengers. The landowner, it tells us, sent servants, it sent messengers to the vineyard because that was the custom. If you leased a vineyard, then he would send it, when it was time for the fruit to harvest, they would send servants and you would give them the first fruits of the vineyard, and that would be the landowner's portion, his share, and then the rest you got to keep. And so when he sent his servants, what happens? They didn't give him what he deserved. They took his blessings and they refused his messengers, his servants. One, they beat Amos. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament they beat and tortured one of God's prophets. Isaiah they killed. Jeremiah they stoned. And many other prophets, they did these same things. And so Jesus is telling them in this parable, that's what you're doing. That's what's happened. God has given you the blessings, and you're ignoring His people. You're ignoring His Word. And so it made me stop and think, well, how does that apply to us today? God has given us the blessings, but do we listen to His messenger? And I'm not talking me. I'm talking this Bible. I'm talking, do you listen to God's Word? Well, I listen to it all the time. I may listen to it on a podcast. I listen to it on a Sunday morning or a Thursday night. Or I listen to it. But do you listen to it? Do you take it in? Do you understand it? Do you accept it? Do you pay attention to it? Or do you just cast it out? That's what they did. These messengers came, and they're just there for the landowner. And they didn't listen to them. They refused the messengers. Do we refuse God's message? Like I said, I know we listen to it. But do we obey it? Do we take it in? Or do we do like these vine dressers and just refuse it? And that was the last thing they wanted to listen to, were these guys coming and saying, hey, you owe us a certain amount. You need to give us this fruit to take back to the landowner. That's not what they wanted to do. And so, do we really listen? So they received the blessings. We've seen that. They've refused to listen to his servants, give him what he deserved. And then what happens is he says, well, I'll send my son. Surely they would respect the heir of the vineyard. But we know what happened. We know they rejected the son and they even killed him. They took him out, cast him outside and killed him. That's pretty harsh. But what Jesus is really saying is the nation of Israel did the same thing. The nation of Israel, they received God's blessings all through the Old Testament, like we talked about. They refused to listen to Him and follow Him, and they wanted a king of their own. And they said, we want to be like everybody else. We want to be like all the other nations. And so He says, okay, I'll give you a king. And they began to follow kings that would not follow God. And they refused His messengers, His prophets. Then, when the time came for the Scripture to be fulfilled, for the Christ child to be born, they refused the Messiah that Scripture told them was coming. They refused Him because they thought He should come as a king to to spare from Rome and to rescue them and set up his kingdom right then. And so when Christ came in as a baby, they refused him. They refused him, refused to follow him. They rejected him. They cast him out of Jerusalem and crucified him on a cross. And how could this people be so bad to do that? How could they be so wicked like this landowner? How could a nation really do this? We know this is a parable Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching it saying this is what the nation of Israel was like. This is what you are like as he's speaking to them. He shares with them what they were doing. And they come to know that he's talking about them. But as he does this, we think about the fact that they rejected the Messiah. We think about the fact that they did not accept him when he came, even though Scripture that they had learned their whole life said he was coming. They rejected him, they took him outside, and they killed him. How could a group of people be so wicked? But we've got to stop and ask ourselves another question. People are still rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. There are still people out there today that are still looking for the Messiah to come. They're still looking for that King to come in and set up His kingdom. They acknowledge the fact that Jesus is the Messiah that Scriptures in the Old Testament spoke of. They refuse that. But you know, there's not just people that are rejecting He's the Messiah. There are several that are rejecting that He's the Savior of the world. Still today. They're rejecting the fact that He is the Savior of the world and that they just choose not to believe in Him. Yeah, Scripture may say this, and they may say that He came and He was born in Bethlehem and all these things, these Christmas things, but they don't believe they need a Savior, so therefore they don't believe He is a Savior. There's still people rejecting Him in that case. And you know what? There's some that they will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that He died on the cross. They believe that He rose again 3 days later. But they're rejecting the fact that He's their personal Savior. They're rejecting Him and not accepting Him as their personal Savior. If we were going to say, do we fit into the pattern of these wicked vine dressers? Well, no, surely we don't, because we've accepted Christ. Some of us have accepted Christ, so we surely don't fit into that. We're not like these people. These were wicked people. They took the blessings and they refused the messengers and they rejected and killed the Son. We don't do that on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we take blessings every day that we just take them for granted. Every day. Well, you know, it's that bonus thing. You know, when you teach your kids, when I hand out the suckers, the parent will say, what do you say? And the kid will say, thank you. They've been taught to say thank you. Well, that's what we do. That's a nice thing to do. It's a respectful thing to do. But it's also a commanded thing to do when it comes to what God has done for us. It's not, oh, you ought to thank Him. Hey, if you get a chance, you might say thank you. It's commanded. Because you look at how He deserves it. It says to give thanks. It doesn't say you might give thanks or you ought to give thanks. It says to give thanks. And we don't. We take those blessings for granted. We take them like we deserve them. And then, not only do we do that, but we refuse to listen to Him on a daily basis. Every one of us refuse Him on a daily basis. We refuse the message that He has sent. And maybe you refused Him as your Savior, but All of us as Christians, the Bible says to him that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. I'm not going to ask for hands, but probably everybody in here would raise their hand if you said, have you done everything this week that you knew you were supposed to do, that you knew God called you to do? Have you went out there and shared the name of Jesus Christ, the gospel, with the people you've met? Well, I refuse that part. Because I know I'm going to do it on Sunday morning. I can stand up here and do it on a microphone, so I may have refused to do it Saturday. Do we refuse to do what God has called us to do? I believe we do. And the reason I think this message is so much for me is because I see the fact that we just take for granted the blessings we have and we refuse what the message is. The message that we're supposed to send out there. The message of love that we're supposed to share. Well, that's somebody else's job. Doesn't work that way. And not only do we receive the gifts without thanking Him and refuse to share His message, we reject Him every day. Some of you may still be rejecting Him as your Lord and Savior. But there are a lot of us that are rejecting Him and what He's called us to do. Is He truly your Lord and Savior? My question. This morning I was able to talk to a young lady in my office and talk to her about accepting Christ. And as we talked through it, I broke it down to the point of, you know, what a Lord is. Like the Lord of a castle. Like the king of a castle. And if I was going to paint this castle, if I wanted to paint this castle purple with pink polka dots, who would I have to talk to? And she said, well, you'd probably have to talk to the king. Because the king's in charge. But how many of us have talked to the king this week about what we decided we wanted to do with our life? I'm going to make this job change. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have my kids do this. How many of us have truly made him the Lord of our life this week? Not just claimed him as Savior, but claimed him and lived as he was the king of your life. So many of us have went and bought the paint already to paint the castle without ever talking to the king. Because you know what? The king may want a different color than I want. The king may not want polka dots. He may want stripes. But the bottom line is, I reject him as being my Lord and Savior because I'm too busy being my own king. It's my castle. It's my vineyard. If he owns the vineyard, if he paid the price for the vineyard with the blood of Jesus Christ, then who's in charge? He is. We have to understand that we reject him every day. And he asked them that question, what will he do to these vine dressers when he comes? Man, wouldn't you want to be one of those vine dressers? When the landowner comes, said, you took my blessings, you refused my message, you killed my son, you rejected him. Wouldn't you like to be one of those vine dressers? No. But Jesus talks in this as if it was to us. And we know he's talking about the nation Israel, that when they refused the Messiah, when they refused Jesus, he was going to take the vineyard away and offer it to the Gentiles, which I'm glad he did, because that's us. But what the Jewish nation, the Israel nation did is they rejected him, and so grace was opened up to all of us. And that's what it's talking about in 43 when he says the kingdom of God will be taken away from just that nation and given to the nation bearing the fruits of it. Those that are following his message, those that are serving him, those that have received him as the Son of God. And then this last verse, 44, close with this. It says, "And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, and on whomever it falls, it will grind to powder." There is so much in that verse. You know, it's talking about same stone is Jesus. It talks about in Psalm 118, it refers to the fact that they were going to reject the cornerstone. The nation was going to reject Jesus, and He was the cornerstone. He was what tied it all together, and they were going to reject Him, and that's what He's talking about. And here He says, that stone that it's talking about is Jesus. And whoever falls on it, so if the stone has to be on the ground, has to be on the earth for me to fall on it, right? Jesus came to the earth the first time. If we fall broken on Jesus and ask for forgiveness, we have salvation. First time He came to the earth. He offered grace. We fall and we are broken before Him. We accept our sin and we ask Him for forgiveness and we are saved. The second time, if a stone falls on me, where's it coming from? Above. The second time He comes, the second time this stone is coming, it's coming from above. And anybody that has not been broken and fallen at the feet of Jesus, the wrath of God is coming. And they will be broken, and not just broken, they will be crushed to powder, to which the wind can blow away. That's the two times Jesus came. That's what He's referring to. People are either going to ignore Him, reject Him, refuse Him, and use Him like these vine dressers did, or they can fall broken before Him and thank Him for what He's given them. Listen to the message and accept the message that He's given. Accept Him as the Lord and Savior of your life. And by doing that, that's not the only reason, but you will not receive that wrath that comes from above, because He says He will take that wrath away. And He did, because Jesus died on the cross for us. So as we look at this, there is so much there. We know what the vine dressers did. We know what their outcome is. What's your outcome? Now we know that we will, if I've accepted Christ, I don't have the wrath of God above me because of Jesus. But I do know that the Scripture tells me that I will still stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll be held accountable for what I did with the message He gave me. Did I share it? Did I receive it? Did I listen to it? Did I share Him? Was He the Lord of my life? And the rewards and the blessings that I have come from Him, because of Him, because of His righteousness. So as Christians, are we standing where we're supposed to stand? Are we living the way we're supposed to live? And for those out there that don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's two choices. You're either broken before Him or crushed by Him. Man, Pastor, I hate it when you use these terrible stories to scare people. I'm not here to scare you. But I am not going to take anything out of His Word that He says that you're supposed to hear and I'm supposed to hear and that we're supposed to live up to. But if we see the whole picture, He has given us the vineyard. He sent us messengers in His Word. He sent us His Son. What are you going to do with them? It's all set up to turn out right. The only reason it's negative is because they didn't receive what He sent. The only reason it's negative for us is because we refuse to do what He says. We refuse to accept Jesus as our Savior and to share His love with those around us. What are you going to do? It's no longer my problem. His message is here. Read it, receive it, live it, do it. Share it. Because that's what He's called us to do. So that when He comes, when that eastern sky splits, we'll be ready. That's what He wants. And that's what that people out there need. Maybe somebody in here needs it too. Today's the day. All you got to do is just receive what He's done for you. Ask Him for forgiveness. We're all there. We're all broken. There's not a one of us that doesn't sin. The only difference is that I've accepted His grace. I've accepted His forgiveness. That's what we want for each of us. Fall down and be broken before Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You so much for all that You do. Lord, I lift this time to You. Time that we need to discuss with You. Lord, help us to be what You call us to be. To accept You, to serve You, to follow You. We can't do it without You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.